In the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks are in Golden State. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off. Tim Stützle has a knee strain, and Ottawa's doctors are there because they're part of the Team Canada staff, and so it'll be up to them whether he plays or not for the rest of the tournament. He wants to play, but Gord Miller from TSN saying that he doubts that Ottawa will let him back in the lineup. And also, a couple other things here. AJ in soccer. It's 1-1. Going to extra time. Europa League final. Not the Queen's Park Rangers, but the Glasgow Rangers. And who are they facing?
Yeah, Eintracht Frankfurt against Rangers.
Yeah. Going to extra time to see who makes Champions League. Couple other things, though. I wanted to touch on this with you.
Was my body language bad there?
Nope.
I was accused off air of having bad body language.
You were, the accusation was correct.
Of being dismissive.
Yep. The accusation was correct at that time, but now you've
rectified the body language issues.
What's your body language like with beginning in February 2023? The XFL has made a deal with ESPN and Disney on a multi-year agreement, 2023 to 2027. And the deal includes 40 regular season XFL games, two playoff semifinals, and a title game on ESPN, ABC, and FX. It includes content rights for Disney's digital, social, and streaming outlets like ESPN Plus as well. That is a 5-year deal.
I think the XFL is a chance to succeed. Simple as that. As long as I felt that all along. Is that the rest of your need to know?
No, I had one more thing.
Okay, well,
but I can include it at any time. That I just went back and looked, understanding that the team from Edmonton, with the Eskimos winning from 78 to 82, right?
Yeah.
So I just looked at Grey Cup champions after that 5-year run. It was an incredible run. So since that run that ended in 82 for the Edmonton Eskimos, the team from Edmonton has won 5 times. The team from Calgary has won 6 times. The Grey Cup.
And that's my point.
I thought that you needed to know that.
Well, and
my point
in AJ's defense, take a look at the quarterbacks that the Calgary Stampeders have had compared to the quarterbacks that have been in Edmonton.
Nah.
Just look at the teams. Look, from 1983 on, and let's move, they did not win a Grey Cup in the 80s.
Nope.
So, I mean, in the last 30 years, they've won 6 Grey Cups in the last 30 years where they had, I think Kevin Federick was... Remember they had the Federick owner and Kevin Federick was the quarterback. They were really bad then.
Yeah.
And then Matt Dunnigan, when he was there as in management, they were really bad then. But other than that, they've been really good. Like the class of the league. They should have won at least double digits. At least. Probably 12 to 15. But at least double digits. So that's my point.
You're going to punish them for being really good and having more championships than Edmonton, but they should have had 12 instead of 6.
I'm not, the barometer isn't Edmonton here, okay? The barometer is...
I'd like it to be.
6, they've won 6 of the last 30,
mm-hmm.
And they should have won a lot more. That's all I'm saying. They've won 6, well done. You're a good football team. Everyone knows they're a good football team. They have been... by far the class of the league for 3 decades. And the championships don't show that. It shows that, okay, they're at the top of a list with a lot of teams winning the same amount of championships. What does Toronto want in that? Toronto's had a lot of bad teams. 4?
2, 3, 4. Since 80, they've won at least 5.
Well,
6.
So you're telling me Toronto's won the same amount of Grey Cups as Calgary.
Oh, John Candy and Rocket Ismail and Doug Flutie. What a team.
They've had a lot of bad years, too.
The Argos won in 91, 96, and 97.
Yeah, and they've won a couple recently. They won one in 2017. They won one in 2012.
Yeah. It was a big gap, obviously. That's it. They won in 83, right after the Eskimos' five-year run of dominance. So, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Toronto's got the same amount.
I kind of think that's...
But it's not like another team is in there with, you know, dominating, you know, with 12 or something like that. I don't have to, I have to go count it every time, but.
No, I get it, but they should have won more than everybody by a mile based on how much better they've been than everybody over the last three decades. And that's my point.
XFL.
XFL, yeah. I mean, do we have figures? Do we have, like, what kind of money they're getting?
We don't, because they're still waiting on some things like the leases for the stadium so they can announce the teams. And I think they're going to announce all of that. But it's just a deal from 2023 through the 2027 season. So 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27.
Yeah, and the devil's in the details, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a lot of the money is going to be dependent on advertising. On ratings. So we'll wait and see. But I have a hard time thinking that there can't be, with the level of interest in football, a league that has some level of success. I'm not saying anything that's going to come anywhere near to, you know, challenging the NFL or anything like that. But, you know, I'll give you an example. I mean, CFL ratings are actually quite good in the United States, and there's no American teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they keep re-upping with the Canadian Football League, because they know football sells. I have a hard time thinking that this can't succeed when you're talking about such a country that is so football mad. And another example is how MACtion, right? The MAC, mm-hmm. Mid-American Conference in college football, like they play their games, their regular season games, on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Because they
eyeballs.
It's an open night, right?
Yep.
They know probably if you're in Michigan or Ohio, you're probably more concerned about seeing Michigan or Michigan State or Ohio State on the Saturday, and on the Sunday, more concerned about the Lions or the Browns or the Bengals. Maybe not the three best examples of teams that you want to see, the Bengals aside. But they draw well in terms of television numbers on Tuesday and Wednesday. It works for them. And I feel like not necessarily even the spring, but into the summer, like late spring into the summer, you would think with how much people love football, if you put it in the right markets, the markets that they left, the NFL, St. Louis, Oakland, San Diego, markets that could easily house a team like San Antonio or Orlando, Portland, and maybe even some other markets that might be like Seattle actually drew well in the last incarnation of the XFL. So, like, you should be able to make something work there. And that's what I was saying in terms of CFL. And I'm not saying the CFL made a bad decision to stay where they are. There's over 100 years of tradition, three-down football. There's a diehard fan base that loves three-down football. But there is going to be, if all of a sudden in 5 years, the XFL is doing as well as I think they can,
mm-hmm.
and they have a Netflix series, or maybe it's Disney Plus, right? I mean, whatever.
Yep.
And people are, because of the content, they want to go and sample the product. And if they sample the product and the product is good, it's like, hey, you know what? This is another football team for me to cheer for. I love football. And it doesn't mess with my college and my NCAA schedule. Well, this thing has a chance to at least have a modicum of success. And I just worry from a Canadian standpoint, you know, when you look at the demographics, I hope we didn't miss the boat. That's all I'm saying. And I'm glad we've got our three down game and our, you know, wide fields and 20 yard end zones and return rules and all that type of stuff. I am. And certainly if there ever was some sort of collaboration, I wouldn't want to get rid of all of that type of stuff. But I'm curious to see how this is going to go. And I just think the upside is tremendous. And we'll see what happens with the Canadian Football League. Finally, they're looking like they're going to get their heads out of their rear ends and get a deal done and start playing football.
Yeah, the thing, I could care less how the XFL does at the beginning. It's more the worry from the CFL. And if I'm looking at it from a, I love the CFL standpoint, would be that league establishing themselves, knowing they're going to be back, knowing they're having a little bit of success, and then how many people choose to go there because they understand that this one's way more stable than the USFL or the AAFL or whatever incarnation of spring football that they've put out before.
Well, and that's why, you know, when I mention the salaries, right? It's in everybody's best interest.
Yes.
For the minimum salary to go up.
Couldn't this point by you is, I think, a tremendous one.
It's short-sighted. It's short-sighted for the union to say, we're not going to accept a bump up in the minimum unless we get a bump up in terms of the whole. To me, that's short-sighted. That's going to help you for the next handful of years, couple of years, but the whole of the group is going to suffer for a handful of starters that are probably Canadian starters who will benefit for a very short period of time, and then the whole of the group will suffer because all of a sudden you can't be as competitive and say, hey, you know what? Why not come to the Canadian Football League? You're going to make $100,000 to come and play here.
There has to be incentive more than there is now for people to come to play in the CFL. And if that comes at a cost of the middle class or Canadian starters or whatever it is, I agree with you. If it comes at the cost of the quarterbacks, wherever it comes from, it could come from a lot of different places.
I'll say this about the quarterbacks. You want to be able to pay the quarterback.
Yeah, you're always going to want to pay your stars.
You want to be able to, like, this league needs good quarterbacks. You want to be able to pay your quarterbacks at least $500,000. Like, I don't think you can go with a league where you just say, okay, you know what, everyone's going to make this much and that's it. You're all making the same. Because you need to be able to find, there's a million football players out there, especially in the United States, that can play all sorts of different positions, but you need good quarterbacks. Because if you don't have good quarterbacks, you're not going to have a good product.
But then the issue becomes how many of the star quarterbacks have been injured over the last few years. Too many is the answer.
Well, which is why they've needed to play. I think that's why the padded practices are coming back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the sticking points. But because the offensive linemen aren't developing as much as they need to. And so if they're not developing, guess what? They're getting roasted. And that's what we've seen, right? Defensive line play has been better than offensive line play. And that means quarterbacks get sacked. That means two and outs. That means quarterbacks get hurt.
Yeah, all of that. And I like you. I hope that they get back to playing football. But I do think that this league will be around for a while. I don't think it's going to be a one and done like the other leagues.
Yeah. And look, the Canadian Football League, you've got brand new stadiums in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. You've got a stadium here that's going to likely be refurbished again. That's going to be virtually brand new. Hamilton's got a new stadium. Edmonton and BC are refurbished. So you've got, and the prime tenants are there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The prime tenants in all these stadiums, the six that I mentioned, are the Canadian Football League teams. The problem is, in the other three markets, BC places, the Whitecaps have more dates than the Lions, so you would say objectively that right now they are the prime tenant. Certainly the prime tenant in Toronto is Toronto FC. And in Montreal, it's owned by McGill. You can make a case that they're the prime tenant, but you could also make a case that because it's owned and run by the university, that they're not. So either way, you got six or seven different spots where you're going to have football. You're absolutely going to have a Canadian Football League, but the key is those other markets. This league is going to be as strong as their weakest links. BC, I think, is a little bit better. Montreal, we'll wait and see. But Toronto is going to continue to be a concern for everybody.
And unfortunately, when people make fun of Toronto as the straw that stirs the drink sometimes in the country, in the CFL, well, they have a lot of influence.
Yeah, well, a lot of people suggest that you can just have a league without Toronto, like the NFL had a league without Los Angeles. Well, unfortunately, it's not that simple, especially from an advertising standpoint.
No.
Like if you're going to some of the major sponsors in the league and Toronto doesn't even have a presence there, it's harder to make that sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but it is the reality. So it's not just as simple as going back to an eight-team league and, well, Toronto's not very strong as a market anyways.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with the Leftover 5 on the Drive. I'm hopeful that in the Leftover 5 on the Drive, Matt will just play Todd Marchand for half an hour to get a set for the Battle of Alberta tonight. I don't know that that's his story. It's a suggestion.
Well, my story is a Battle of Alberta story, so...
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
Coming up next on the Drive on TSN 1200.
It's time for the Leftover 5 on the Drive. A fun look at weird and wacky happenings in the world of sports. Brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue.
Well, welcome back. It is the Leftover 5 on the Drive. Five fun, frivolous stories all brought to you by St. Hubert.
Chicken, ribs, and hockey. They've also got fries, sauce, two types of coleslaw, creamy and traditional. And you know what time it is? It's lobster time, Lee.
Fantastic. What does lobster time mean?
Well, they've got a lobster Saint burger. They've got a lobster roll, and they've got a lobster salad. Oh. I'm having a Pavlovian response here, just thinking about all that lobster. Maybe a lobster roll, get a side of fries with some Saint Hubert sauce. Oh. That's what I'm talking about. And you've got all sorts of locations you can visit in and around the city. The original, St. Joseph Boulevard in Orleans. They're on Saint Laurent Boulevard, right across from the Museum of Science and Tech, where they've always got the fleet of the little yellow cars with the red tops. They're on Riverside at Hunt Club. You can drive through outside of town. They're just off the highway in Rockland. They're also across the river in Gatineau. Multiple locations there, including all of our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Boulevard de Maisonneuve.
All of our favorite.
And if you don't feel like going to them, they will come to you. Contactless delivery right to your door. Just go to saint-hubert.com.
Are you up first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So, Alberta's pretty mad about hockey. The prices... We got prices for tickets to get in, and we got 50-50 pots as well.
Oh, okay.
What are you more interested in? What do you want to hear first?
Give me the 50-50. I'm going to guess. Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, it's going to be over a million.
You think so?
I think
I think that's right around the number I would have guessed.
I'm going to guess 1.7 million.
Oh, I won't guess that high. I'd guess 1 million.
So, like, keep in mind, there's two different like Calgary's, and you have to be an Albertan to buy. I can't just buy.
You're not an Albertan?
No,
you have to be a resident of Alberta.
Yeah, I know, but at heart.
Don't be pedantically.
Just tell them you're an Albertan at heart. Okay?
Now, can Zane buy?
I'm a Canadian.
Oh, okay? Zane can buy.
Zane can buy. I think Zane will buy, and he definitely won't buy the smaller one, but it is wild. Like, it doesn't matter where you go. And keep in mind, the Calgary one is a two-day jackpot that started yesterday and into today, and the Edmonton one is an eight-day jackpot.
Okay.
That started a few days ago and wraps up. Actually, I think, no, it's a 10-day jackpot.
Because it'll wrap up the game three?
It'll wrap up game four.
Oh, game four. Okay.
So the Flames' current jackpot for tonight, $284,590.
And that's 2 days.
Sorry, it's up to 287. Oh. I just refreshed it. 287,135. That's a pretty good jackpot.
In 2 days?
Like,
yeah.
And no one's even buying tickets for the 50-50 at the game itself yet.
Exactly. And it's at 287,135. The Oilers jackpot, it's probably going to be, I've already seen it advance here in the last couple of minutes, $1,397,815.
And there are 8 days to go?
Yeah, about 24th. It's the 18th today, so almost, yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting
stupid. What's
that
going to be? 3 million?
Well, probably more than that, I would think. Oh. Insane.
Over 5, I think.
Just for a 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's like early bird prizes as well. You can get a $15,000 cash prize if you I'll have to tell my parents to get in on that one before 9 o'clock tonight. Anyways, so that's the 50-50, which you probably need to win to get into some of these games. If you want two tickets to get into tonight's Flames game, right now, press level 7. And I can tell you, press level 7.
7 seems high. Like, where you're sitting, high, away from the ring.
It's high.
Right.
It's high. It's above the press level. Is basically what you're talking about.
Wow.
Like when you walk up and you're high there, like I've called a number of games there in the WHL. Like if you walk to the back of the catwalk and you look, like the fans are above you in the upper deck. Press level 7, two seats, $300 a piece to get in tonight for game one. For two tickets, upper 212. Which is behind the net. The Oilers attack twice. Upper level. Cheapest you can get in is $651.
Come on.
Per ticket for two tickets for game three. So you probably need to win the 50-50 if you don't have tickets and you want to attend the Battle of Alberta. I think... Like, if you're an Oilers fan, I'd probably rather spend the $300 to drive down to Calgary. I get gas is pretty expensive right now, but...
Say it ain't so, AJ. You would rather go to Calgary.
Yeah, well, you can always...
Tell Zane that.
You can always go to the mountains after, right? Best part of Calgary, go to Canmore after. All right, there's my story.
I love Canmore.
Yeah, Canmore's
did a
beautiful.
Golf trip to Canmore. We did a night in Calgary. Saw a Stamps Argos game with no touchdowns until garbage time. But we got to see the horse run along the sidelines late in the game.
It's important.
I haven't been to every CFL stadium.
That's definitely the worst.
It was not good. I saw a concert at the BC Lions Stadium. Also not an incredible stadium. It was a good concert. Saw Paul McCartney. Amazing. But, yeah. McCole was... It lived up to the name.
Oh, stop it. Don't call it that because he calls it that.
I'm just... I'm just saying.
It's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, I'm going to appreciate long achievements in the Leftover Five on the Drive. First of all, yesterday, the new record for the oldest living male.
112?
It is. Juan Vicente Mora.
Didn't even see this story.
From El Cobre, Venezuela. He is 112 years old and 253 days. So he's, you know, just over 100 days from turning 113. As the Guinness World Records tweeted out, Juan spent time working on his farm, and as a sheriff, he now relaxes with his 18 grandchildren, 41 great-grandchildren, and his 12 great-great-grandchildren.
Wow.
So he turns 113 when?
It would be, well, as of yesterday, it would be 100, it'll be 111 days from now.
I don't think I want to live that long. Number.
You're chilling with your great-great-grandchildren? You got 12 of them. I don't think I want to live that long. Well, let's get on to the other story of Don Gorski from the Guinness Book World Records. Because today, Don's celebrating 50 years. 50 years of eating Big Macs. So,
oh, this guy.
Yeah. So Don has now gone what they're calling almost every day. He has eaten one every day for the last 50 years, sometimes two, but he has missed 8 days. But it is the 50-year anniversary of him eating the burger. And incredibly, seems to be doing just fine.
What was that movie of the guy who went and ate McDonald's for like 30 days straight?
Super Size Me.
Yeah. Like that guy appeared in the movie, right?
I never saw Super Size Me. I enjoy McDonald's too much that I was worried that it would gross me out and I wouldn't want to eat it anymore. I love Big Macs. I could not eat a Big Mac every day. I need variety in my life. I need to change it up.
He's got all the, like, the boxes.
Yeah,
that's
the guy.
The different boxes.
I've seen him. Good for him.
50 years, one every day, and saying that often.
He's kept all the boxes?
Feels like two. He's kept all of the different boxes.
Yeah, anytime the packaging changes, I assume he would keep.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, is it an accomplishment I aspire to achieve? No. But
I don't think it's impressive at all.
Well, he went back to the same branch. He had his first one.
I don't mean to have bad body language on this issue.
He went back to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. That's where he got Big Mac number one in 1972. And he went back there for the 50-year anniversary and got himself another one today. I don't know how health enthusiasts would look at this story and
say, the guy's still around, so there's that. But
like, you hear the story of the woman who reaches her 100th birthday and, you know, she, like, I have two Dr. Peppers a day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you, how?
Don't know.
I don't know. I think a big part, and this is a different discussion entirely, but I think stress and anxiety is a big time killer. And if you're having a Big Mac every single day, you know what you're probably not doing? Worrying about your health constantly. And whether you're actually as healthy as someone who is super health conscious, I don't think you're stressing about your health. And I think that goes a long way.
He's probably approaching the last official total that he had was 32,340. That was back in August 2021. And he's had at least one a day since then. Sometimes he's had two. So he's give or take a couple hundred short of 33,000.
It's a lot of Big Macs.
I feel like he's just doing this to to do it, though. Like,
well, why else would, like, once you've done it for 47 years, are you?
You're probably thinking, yeah, if I don't get a Big Mac, something bad's going to happen. I've lived a pretty good life.
Because my system is just...
No, just...
Yeah.
It's part of your routine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, your system knows.
Nothing to do with his actual health or his system. Just like, oh, you know what happens when my team wins? I put my left shoe on before my right shoe, but I tied my right laces first. Might just be, if I don't have a Big Mac, my whole routine's done and I am screwed.
Like, how do you go for the second Big Mac that day, though? Like, you know what?
This is a great question.
I get it. Like, obviously for him, it's kind of like some people having porridge in the morning, right? Oh, I need my porridge in the morning. I need my Big Mac. But then to go back and say, geez, you know what? That Big Mac wasn't fulfilling enough. I need another Big Mac. Like, to me, that's where it gets a little ridiculous. But it's work. Hey, you know what? It's working for him. Wouldn't work for me. I like variety in a lot of areas of my life. It's working for him, so who am I to criticize?
Can I quickly do my story, even though we don't have time?
Sure.
Absolutely.
So
it's only offside.
Australia having an election on Saturday, and the PM, Scott Morrison, campaigning for re-election, going hard. He was in Tasmania today, or I guess it's yesterday in Australia. But on Wednesday in Australia, in Tasmania, playing some soccer with some kids. And when I tell you, when I say Peyton Manning, SNL, what's the first thing you think of?
Throwing the ball at the kid's head?
Well, Scott Morrison kind of pulled a Peyton Manning.
Kicked the ball at...
No, he full-on tackled the kid.
Oh.
He slipped and basically fell on a kid and, like, rolled and turned it into a tackle hug. And thankfully, no one was hurt, but it could have gone a lot worse. Everyone had a bit of a laugh, the kid included. But Scott Morrison, maybe stick to politics. Soccer, clearly not your game if you can't even play a friendly with a couple of kids without tackling and falling on one.
Fantastic ending to the Leftover 5 on the Drive. Back to wrap it up, get AJ's pick of Calgary tonight in Game 1 here on the Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back to the Drive. Lever Stage, AJ Jakubik, Matt Conisvita. AJ, two games tonight. Your game-by-game predictions.
I don't do game-by-game predictions.
Well, can we start?
I'm predicting Edmonton will win the series, even though I don't really fully believe it. And I'm predicting Carolina to win the series. So game by game, I'm not going to get swung by the peaks and valleys of who wins each game and start writing teams off and putting teams on notice. Well, I might put a couple teams on notice if they don't start playing well, but just going to enjoy the hockey.
Well, enjoy the hockey. Matt, enjoy the basketball. And we're going to be back. Speaking about enjoying the hockey, Canada-Kazakhstan, tomorrow, we're on right after it, whenever that is, 3:30.
Break it all down.
Exactly. 3:30-ish, give or take.
Memories of 1998.
PGA Championship.
Nick Antropov.
Yeah.
Against the World Junior Team.
PGA Championship starts tomorrow as well, so have yourselves a great Wednesday night. We're back tomorrow on the Drive on TSN 1200.